Sarvate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12. We're starting with text 45, which has no purport, 46, which has no purport, and then 47, which is the last verse of the chapter, and it does have a purport. So I'll read the first two verses myself, and we'll chant text 47 together. So text 45, Sri Shuka Vacha Iti Te Bihita Ta Ta Vikrama Sharangadhanvana Sindur Mirnaptaneyena Drita Prashte Mahachala. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, My dear king, the person who bore the great mountain on his back for the churning of the ocean of milk is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Sringadhanva. I have now described to you his prowess. 46. Etan muhu kirtayato nishrenvato narishyate jatu samudyama kvachit yad uttama shloka gunana varnanam samam samasta samsara pari shramapaham. Translation, the endeavor of one who constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk will never be fruitless. Indeed, chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only means to annihilate all sufferings in this material world. Text 47. Asad Avishaya Angrim Bhava Gamyam Prapanam Amritam Amara Varyam Ashayat Sendu Matyam Kapata Yuvati Vesho Mohayan Ya Surarims Tam Aham Upashritanam Kama Puram Nato Asmi. Asad Avishayam Angrim Bhavagamyam Prapanam. Who's got the right tune? It's not the Brahma Samhita, right? Right. Asada Vishayam Angrim Bhavagamyam Prapanam. Amritam Amarya Varya Amrit Shastam Amaravaryan Ashayat Sindhumatyam. Kapata Yuvati Vesha Bohayan Yasararims. It's difficult. I'm not getting it. Sura? You. Okay. I was asking all the expert chanters. Tamaham upasritanam kamapuram natosmi. Asade vishayam angri bhava gamyam prapana. Amritam amarya varyam ashayat sendumatyam. Kapata yuvati vesha mohayan yasararims. Tamaham upasritanam kama puram natosmi. Asada vishayam angrim bhava gamyam prapana. Amritam amara varyan ashayat sindhumatyam. Kapata yuvati vesho mohayan yasararims. Tamaham upasritanam kama puram natosmi.
You really have to pronounce the words properly, otherwise it doesn't work. Okay. Asada vishayam angrim bhava gamyam prapanan.
Asada vishayam angrim bhava gamyam prapanan.
Amritam amara varyan ashayat sindhu matyam.
Amritam amara varyam ashayat sindhu matyam.
Kapata yuvati vesho mohayan yaksurarims.
Kapata yuvati vesho mohayan yaksurarims.
Tamaham upasritanam kama puram natosmi.
Anaham upasritanam kama puram natosmi. Okay. Asada vishaya mangrim bhava gamyam prapanam. Amritam amaya varyam asaya sendumatyam. Pate yuvati vesho mahayam vyasurarims. Tanaham upasritam kama puram natosmi. Asada vishaya mangrim bhava pangam pamam. Amritam amaravaryam ashayat sindhu matyam. Kupata yuvati vesho mahayan yasararims. Tanaham upasratanam kama param natosmi. Vaishnavis. Asada vishaya mangrim bhava gamyam. Amrita Maria Varya Nadashayat Sindhu Matyam. Kapata Yuvati Vesha Mohayam Yasararims. Tanaham upishtatam kamo param natosmi. Asat avishayam. Not understood by the atheist. Angrim. Unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavagamyam. Understood by devotees. Prapanam. Fully surrendered. Amritam. The nectar. Amaravaryan. Only unto the demigods. Ashayat, gave to drink. Sindhumatya, produced from the ocean of milk. Kapata yuvati veshaha, appearing as a false young girl. Mohayan, captivating. Yaha, he who, Surarin, the enemies of the demigods, Tam, unto him, Aham, I, Upasritanam, of the devotees, Kamapuram, who fulfills the desires, Nataha asmi, I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Assuming the form of a young woman and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances. Please repeat. Assuming the form of a young woman, and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport. The instruction of this narration concerning the churning of the milk ocean is clearly manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is equal to everyone, because of natural affection, he favors his devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhutesho name dveshyosti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya mai titesho chapyaham. Quote, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. This, end quote. This partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural. A person cares for his children, not because of partiality, but in a reciprocation of love. The children depend on the father's affection, and the father affectionately maintains the children. Similarly, because devotees do not know anything but the lotus feet of the Lord is always prepared to give protection to his devotees and fulfill their desires. He therefore says, Kantiye pratijana hi name bhaktya pranashiti. Quote, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly, that my devotee never perishes, end quote. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've reached the end of a long journey. We've been reading for the past several months the chapters in the 8th canto related to the churning of the milk ocean. It started with chapter 5. Now we're at the end of chapter 12, and that's the end of the description of this particular pastime. And now Srila Prabhupada is summarizing it in this purport. Said the one important lesson is that the Lord is partial to his devotees and he fulfills their desires. So that's what we expect of a friend. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Suhrida Sarva Bhutanam, I am the dearmost friend of all living entities. So if we have somebody that we regard as a friend, we expect the friend to understand us, to sympathize with us. In particular, if we have some need, you know, that the friend can satisfy, it's nice if the friend is capable of satisfying the desire, and not only be capable, but actually willing to satisfy the desire or need that we might have. So typically in the world we find that our so-called friends, they don't really understand us. They're not really that sympathetic in all cases. You know, they have their own selfish interests that they're concerned about. They may not be actually capable of helping us in the way that we desire. And even if they are capable, they may not be willing to do it. This comes up in, say, monetary dealings, for example. One may feel the need for some monetary assistance. And one's so-called friends may not be sympathetic. They may not be understanding. They may be capable of assisting, but you know, they, for whatever reason, may not reciprocate like that. But Krishna's not like that. Krishna understands us fully. He's situated in the hearts of all living beings as super soul. He knows our innermost needs and desires and ambitions. And not just for this life, but for many, many lifetimes. As a super soul, he understands that. He's sympathetic. He's compassionate. He, you know, as super soul, he's always trying to help us come towards him. And he's fully capable of helping us in any way that will advance our Krishna consciousness. And he's willing to to do that. So Krishna is the ideal friend, as he says, I'm a friend, especially to those who are friendly to me. So it's natural, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. But one of the lessons in this whole episode of the churning of the milk ocean is the way that Krishna chooses to help his devotees may not be exactly what they expect in terms of instant reciprocation. There may have to be a process with some ups and downs. I think that's one of the things we can take from this whole pastime of Krishna dealing with the demigods. If we go back to the fifth chapter, and we'll see that the demigods had been defeated by the demons. They'd been deprived of their opulences and positions by the demons headed by Bali Maharaj. So they went to Lord Brahma, who's the chief demigod, and they explained their position. So Brahma took them to the shore of the milk ocean, where they prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who at first was not visible. But then the Lord became visible in the form of Ajita, the particular incarnation of the Lord who was acting in this pastime. And Lord Ajita suggested to the demigods that they declare a truce with the demons. And he's going to help them, but he's laying out a whole process. In other words, they don't get the result immediately. They're going to have to go through a process. So he suggests they declare a truce with the demons and that they make an alliance with them to churn the ocean of milk. And Krishna explained, you know, he would help with that. So the demigods, they agreed to that proposal. You know, they made a temporary alliance with the demons, and they, on the instruction of Krishna, they got the Mandara Mountain to use as the churning rod for churning the milk ocean. So they had to move the demigods and the demons together. You know, they had to move this huge mountain. They had to carry it to the proper place in the center of the milk ocean. But it was very heavy. I mean, Krishna is going to help them in the end, but they had to work. And they had to work along with the demons. And just like we're devotees of the Lord, but we're in the material world, and we have to struggle. We have to interact with the non-devotee community. In any case, the demigods and the demons, they were actually crushed by the weight of the Mandara Mountain. And actually, some of them even died. Some of them were injured. Some of them died, both demigods and demons. So there was some difficulty along the way. But if the message is, if the demigods remained faithful to Krishna, they kept following his orders, then eventually things would work out for them. they would be protected, their desires would be fulfilled, but not immediately. So they, of course, the demigods, they're Sakama devotees, not necessarily pure devotees, but few of us are pure devotees in the very beginning. So Krishna came in the form of Ajita, and he lifted the Mandara mountain to the onto the back of Garuda, his carrier, and arranged for Garuda to take the mountain to the proper place. And then he restored to life all the demigods and demons who had died and become injured during their attempt by themselves to carry the Mandara mountain. And Garuda brought the mountain to the proper place, and then Krishna asked Garuda to go, because as long as Garuda was there, the serpent Vasuki, who was going to serve as the rope for the churning of the mountain, he wouldn't come because he was afraid of Garuda, whose natural food was serpents. So anyways, Vasuki came, and the demigods and demons used him as a rope to start the churning process. And the demons, they took the head of the serpent, which they regarded as the most auspicious place, and the demigods had to take the tail. So they wrapped the serpent around the Mandara mountain and began churning. But they found that it wasn't really working out because the mountain was so heavy, it was sinking into the water, so the churning couldn't go on properly. So then Ajita, Lord Ajita, assumed the form of a great tortoise and carried the Mandara mountain on his back. So all along the way, there are difficulties, but the Lord helps out, and the process goes on. So they began churning, and in the beginning, the Lord had warned the demigods that when the churning started, there would be poison that would develop. He said, but don't be afraid of that. There will be attractive material things that will come out, but don't get bewildered by that either. You know, just keep doing your duty. So the demigods, they kept churning, and the poison did come. But then Krishna arranged for Lord Shiva to drink all the poison. And then many nice things were produced by the churning as well. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she was produced by the churning, and she immediately went to the side of her master, Lord Narayan. And the demons were a little upset by this. So the next thing that was produced was Varuni, who is goddess in charge of intoxicating beverages. So she went over to the demons. They were a little bit satisfied. And then the churning produced Dhanvantari, an incarnation of Krishna called Dhanvantari, who's connected with medical science. But he was holding a jug of nectar. So here we get the nectar appearing on the scene. And the demons seized the nectar. And, of course, the demigods were very upset by this, because this is what the whole object of the exercise was, and now the demons had gotten it, but Krishna told them, you just keep doing your duty here, and I'll make some arrangement. So Krishna then appeared as the Mohini Murti and bewildered the demons and delivered the nectar to the demigods. So, in the end, as described in this verse here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the ocean of milk. And to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my obeisances. So Krishna did fulfill their desires, but as part of a whole process. So we may have our desires to serve Krishna in a particular way, and Krishna will especially try to satisfy that desire. And Krishna will also protect his devotees. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord is always prepared to give protection to his devotees. It's like there's the example of Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family but became a devotee of the Lord. And his story is told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there's some additional details given about how he was persecuted in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. When the Qazi, a local Muslim official, learned that this Muslim had converted to become a Hindu and was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he became a little bit upset, so he went to the governor, the Nawab, and reported that this had happened. So the Nawab summoned Haridas Thakur there and tried to convince him to go back to his original position of being a Muslim. And Haridas Thakur was preaching to him, it doesn't really make any difference. There's only one God. So whether you're Hindu or Muslim, you can chant the name of God. And he just continued to chant Hare Krishna. So then he was put into prison. And there were a number of Vaishnavas who had been put into prison. They were very happy that Haridas Thakur had come into the prison. And Haridas Thakur told them, I give you this blessing that you remain as you are. And so they were thinking, well, what's this? We're in prison. He said, now you're feeling very humble and fallen and very eager to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, take shelter of Krishna. So I hope you always stay in that mood. Maybe someday you'll get out of prison, but then you've got to worry that you'll become attracted to your old material ways of life. You know, there's so much bad association out there. So he counseled them that if you do get out of prison, then just remain surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in any case, he was summoned back before the Nawab, who could see that he wasn't surrendering. He was just continuing to preach, even in prison. So the Qazi advised the Nawab, you should beat him and have him beaten in 22 marketplaces. And if he's still alive after that, then we'll just accept whatever he says and whatever he wants to do. So usually in this form of punishment, after being beaten in two or three different marketplaces, a person would be dead. So the soldiers of the Nawab, they took Hari Das Thakur out, and they took him to the first marketplace. They beat him very severely. They took him to the second, beat him very severely. But he didn't protest at all. He wasn't feeling any pain whatsoever. And finally, at the very end of the 22 marketplaces, he was still alive, not in pain at all. And the guards were very upset to say, now our master, the Nawab and the Qazi, they're going to kill us, you know, because we haven't managed to beat you to death. So he said, okay. He was very compassionate. He was feeling, I don't want them to be in trouble. I forgive them for whatever they've done to me. I don't want them in any trouble. So he agreed to play dead. He went into a trance where he was apparently not breathing. He was motionless. He was taken to the Nawab, and they were trying to decide what to do with the body. And the Qazi suggested, or not the Qazi, the Nawab was thinking, well, we should bury him. The Qazi said, no, we shouldn't do that. That's too good for him. Let's throw him into the Ganges. So they threw him into the Ganges River, and he floated away. But then he woke up out of his trance. He swam to shore, started chanting Hare Krishna, and the Muslim people who saw him were just totally amazed, and they surrendered to him, and eventually the Nawab also surrendered. But later, Lord Chaitanya told him that because of your pure devotion, I was always protecting you. Actually, I put my back on your back, and I was taking all the lashes myself. And he told Hari Das Thakur, you can look at my back. You can see the marks. I'm not lying. So the Lord always protects his devotees. And Hari Das Thakur began giving so many examples to Lord Chaitanya of how in his different incarnations he had protected so many devotees, protected Prahlad against Hiranyakashipu, protected the Pandavas against Duryodhana. And so the Lord protects his devotees if they're fully surrendered to him. So I see I've gone over time a little bit. I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.